From their marvelously equipped observatory on their private star, the three guys who do zero issues devote their abilities to crime busting in the solar system.
So, you guys want to fight some crime today? Where are you thinking? The solar system?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean,
sure is hot on this star base.
But we're in cold, cold space.
That's true.
In space, no one can hear your Kermit.
This may appear to be only monkey business, but in reality, it's very serious, ladies.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast. Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
Excelsior!
Hey, welcome to the show.
I almost did that kiss thing again. I think I've done it like half a dozen times.
I know.
I'll switch.
I know.
I'll switch to other kiss things tonight. Sounds like a Dracula.
Love gun.
Anyway, love gun. I want to lay it at my feet. But
how do you know any kiss?
How do I know any? Well, I don't know. Tony Hawk?
Was it Tony Hawk?
What? There was a Tony Hawk game where Kiss was there.
Really?
Really?
I think you could skateboard as Gene Simmons.
I'd love that.
Psycho Circus era.
Yeah.
I mean, welcome to the show. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the zone? I don't know the words. I know it phonetically, like the French version of O Canada.
It's when the snit joined Kiss. That joke's for almost nobody.
We're getting our CanCon.
Yeah. Gotta have it.
Hi, I'm Merc.
Hi, Merc. I'm Kyle.
Hi, Kyle.
Hi, Merc.
Who's that?
Hi, I'm Bri.
Hi, Bri.
And that's Bri.
Yes.
Bye, Bri.
Correct, I'm Bri.
He is now, and to the best of his understanding, always been Bri. But maybe tomorrow he'll want to settle down. Until tomorrow, he'll just keep being Bri. There's some more CanCon. The littlest hobo is Canadian, right?
I think so.
Absolutely Canadian.
It goddamn better be.
I really want to see a German Shepherd with Bri's head on it.
I really want to see Bri with a German Shepherd's head on it. I mean, maybe we can make both of our dreams come true.
Congratulations. You can both have nightmares.
Current Zero News Flash.
Hi, welcome to the news. Thanks for coming to the other side. Adult Swim just announced Bird Girl.
Yes.
Harvey Birdman spinoff, which...
I'll take it.
What's her name? Peugeot Brewster voices?
Yes, who has played the character through the whole run.
Well, she's only really been in... There was only Bird Girl, right? I think there was in season three, maybe a couple of episodes.
It was a later character.
Yeah.
Edition, but a good one.
Absolutely.
No,
anything coming out of that show is amazing.
Hippo? Oh yeah, yeah. There, Potamus, yeah,
Henry Potamus,
might yes. So,
did you get that thing?
Yeah, I was waiting for it.
Yeah.
They had that special, I think, last year or something that was like, Harvey Birdman, Attorney General.
I did not know this.
Oh yeah, Phil Ken Sebin is elected president, and it's I wonder who they could be making fun of in this show.
Oh,
and it was like Colbert back and everything, so they did that, and I guess they're kind of like, hey, that seemed to go over well. Let's keep something else rolling. I haven't seen it yet. I've been meaning to, but I heard it was pretty funny.
Turns out Adult Swim can do things that are well animated as well.
Shocking.
So you guys ever hear of a show called 10 Ounce Mouse?
Nope.
Poison.
So apparently in Bird Girl, she becomes the CEO of Seben and Seben, the world's largest and most nonsensical corporation.
Mm.
Okay.
So that's all that we know so far.
It'll be good.
Yep.
I am counting on it being good.
Yes.
Can I help you?
No, but I can help you.
And you are...
Bird Girl!
Other TV-related news.
Yes.
The Tick. Was that on Amazon Prime?
It was.
Yes. It has been canceled after two seasons.
Amazon Omega?
To be fair, how many seasons of the animated show were there?
Three or four.
Oh, really?
I have the whole series.
Oh, yeah. I see it.
I've got one of the seasons.
Yeah, three or four.
Releases, yeah. So that's been canceled by Amazon. However, one of its stars, Griffin Newman, who plays Arthur, went online. It said, our show is very much still alive at this moment, which is... Okay.
Which is code for it's been canceled.
Yeah.
It's code for I'm high on cocaine.
Can Netflix please pick us up? Oh, they won't? They won't pick us up?
Hulu? Hulu? Who knew Hulu?
Might not work anymore because Disney has consumed Hulu. That's other news, I guess.
Now I'm Disney Hulu.
The monopoly continues to grow. Anyway, so he's saying our show is still very much still alive at this moment. We're all still under contract and actively trying to find a place to keep the show going. Fan demand is really what has the power to push us over the edge right now, so please be loud. It's time to hashtag save the tick.
He said save the tick, right?
Yeah, sometimes works. I mean, Lucifer got canceled by Fox and came back. Doesn't usually work, but sometimes it works.
Yeah.
So who knows? But as of now, it has been canceled. So,
I mean, if they make more episodes, even if those episodes don't get aired, the actors still get paid.
That's true.
That's as far as I know.
Well, everybody, to mark this tragic occasion, I think we should all say a solemn Serafinowicz. Or not do that.
I don't get it.
Peter Serafinowicz?
Oh, I'm sorry.
He plays the tech.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Listen, am I the only Serafinowicz fan here?
You're the only Serafinowicz head.
Ah!
I like him. I love him.
I made t-shirts for all of us.
Look, you'll get your money when I'm dead.
I'm sure they're very nice. In other news,
yeah.
Uncanny X-Men 16, 18, I can't even read my own writing. Doesn't matter. Chamber is dead. Oh, spoiler alert, Chamber is dead. That didn't work since I said it the other way.
Serafinowicz.
Serafinowicz. Chamber is dead.
Old Firemouth himself.
Old No-Mouth himself.
Yeah.
So for a while, Chamber was leading the Morlocks apparently had left to join Cyclops' X-Men team.
Yeah.
And I guess there's like an event called with the Marauders killing everybody.
Oh, the Mutant Massacre.
Mutant Massacre. I guess some sort of Mutant Massacre-esque sort of thing going on. And they thought it was the Marauders again.
Mm-hmm.
And so Chamber and the X-Men attacked the Marauders. And Chamber goes nuts and possibly killed a bunch of them. Burning Arclight, Blockbuster, Scalpunter, Malice, Vertigo.
And that's pretty much all of them.
Yeah.
Everyone's favorites.
And Harpoon.
Not Harpoon.
Just in his, like, death throes, Harpoon stabs Chamber and kills him.
They're killing him left and right.
Yeah, Wolfsbane died like a month ago.
I was just Strong Guy and Wolfsbane are both dead. I had no idea.
There's a fair amount of controversy online about Wolfsbane in particular because the way they kind of framed it, it almost seemed kind of allegorical for, like, you know, some dudes were like hitting on her and found out she was a mutant and then beat her to death.
Oh, really?
Which is often happens to, say, like, trans women when they find out that status. That's very much how it read to a lot of people.
Yeah.
That's very much how it read to a lot of people, and it did not go over that well with a lot of people. But it's all.
I haven't read it. Depends on how you.
It's subjective based on your interpretation, but I mean. But they've been. Basically, the point is they've been very ugly killing off a lot of X-Men characters.
Well, there's a lot of them.
Yeah, there are a lot. Of course, they're doing like a relaunch coming out. I think they've announced that Jonathan Hickman is going to be heading up. They're like doing a big push for like it's House of X and Powers of X or something. He's doing like a big X-Men. So, I mean, if they're doing like some crazy big relaunch, hey, they're all not dead. That's fine.
I'm a fan of Hickman and I hate Hickman at the same time.
Because you don't want to read a book for 9 years?
There's that. He plays the long game, which is I often like, but at the same time, I feel like I just get fatigued.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't keep...
They're hyping this up as, like, the biggest X-Men push.
Thing since the last one?
Well, since Morrison.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Like, they're saying it's going to be as big a shakeup as, like, Morrison's. I'm just like, all right. I mean, we'll see. I mean, Hickman does good work.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
When you get to the end, eventually. Yeah. I was reading the Avengers stuff when he was doing that, and I was enjoying it. And introduced a couple of new characters and just like changed the team up a little bit, and it was, I enjoyed it, but it was like just kept going and going. Like, what? Okay, what?
Yeah,
yeah, and same with his Fantastic Four.
Yeah,
before that,
do those like tie in together, sort of plot wise, or is it just kind of
okay?
We'll see what happens. Yeah. I frankly would just like to have just some normal-ass X-Men books for a bit. That'd be kind of neat without it being like, we're shaking things up, we're doing crazy stuff. It's like, yeah. If you're constantly doing like a big, ridiculous shake-up.
It's an event. It's a shake-up.
That's the status quo now is like, who knows what's happening anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that all the news?
Yep.
All right. Well, then let's get the hell out of here.
Welcome to the warm-up!
So, Brightburn.
It's a movie.
It's a movie.
It's either coming out or has just come out.
By the time this airs, I think it will have maybe just come out.
Yeah.
What do you think, robot voice?
Brightburn was released on May 24th. Now stop using me as your personal search engine. I have many important robot things to do.
Thanks, robot.
God, we love you.
I love English robots. So it's basically, it's James Gunn, who, after being let go from Disney, did this, I don't know if it was...
I think he's producing, but not directing.
Oh,
but
yeah. I thought he directed it.
Okay. I don't think he directed it. Okay. He wouldn't have had enough time, I don't think. He was laying pretty low.
Right. Well, then to hell with him. I don't want to talk about James.
Who's the time? He's eating all those ice cream sandwiches.
Yeah. So basically, it's like a take on Superman, somewhat. The origin story of the alien child landing, being picked up by the kindly couple. The kindly couple in Kansas or wherever, Midwestern U.S., and then discovering that the child has powers slowly. And whereas in Superman mythos, that turned out really well for pretty much everybody. Mm-hmm. This one's taken as a more of a horror slant that...
It's harrowing. A lot of people die. Yeah. Oh, it's Man of Steel.
So, yeah, it's like a kid that suddenly can fly and is super strong and shoots lasers out of his eyes, which a lot of kids I know, I would not like them to do that.
No, that's
would be
fair.
Bad. Bad.
A lot of, I don't think I want anyone to do that.
No. So, yeah, it's that sort of like twist on the archetype story or a particular story and making it dark. So we thought we would do the same thing.
For a warm-up, so it's short.
Yes.
As I went on and on.
My choice was Spider-Man. And the way I sort of saw that playing out, if you're kind of doing like a horror spin on a classic character, I'm thinking The Fly meets like a teen horror slasher movie, basically. So you have whatever your Peter Parker XP is, who is like a bullied, resentful, bitter little nerd, little Ditko boy.
You're such a resentful.
Well, he's bullied.
Ditko.
He's beaten up every day. He's just stewing with anger. He gets bitten by a spider or whatever happens that kind of sort of infuses his DNA with a spider or something similar to a spider.
He falls in a bucket with a spider and they both get mixed up.
Ace Chemicals, spider juice.
They're riding the Gravitron. I got stuck on the Gravitron with a spider.
And I swallowed it and it just kept going.
Oh! And then I had to eat a bird to catch the spider. I don't know why!
I love it. Much like Spider-Man, he starts developing powers.
Yes.
And so at first, he's beaten up every day. All of a sudden, he's stronger than his bullies. And he feels like a small person who can't do everything he wants to do. All of a sudden, he can do anything he wants to do. And at first, he sort of starts getting a little bit confident, but then it goes to his head and he starts abusing that power a little bit more and more. And again, just the ugliness of being like that bullied kid kind of manifests in that way. And increasingly, as it goes on, he starts just more transforming into like a spider or
physically.
A bug. Like physically transforming into that, like in The Fly or something.
And he just turns into Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, you mean like Cronenberg Fly.
Oh, like Cronenberg Fly.
I was thinking like Vincent Price.
No, Cronenberg Fly.
He just turns into Jeff Goldblum.
So he just starts like turning into this just monster. Like it's very on the nose, but just that like resentment and bitterness, ugliness inside is just literally turning him into a horrible monster who is just lashing out. And he becomes like, basically just starts killing everybody who who he feels has wronged him. And maybe they didn't wrong him as much as he thought. Who knows? And you could also have it from the perspective. You could even have kind of the Mary Jane character of like someone who sees him like next door through the window every day. He doesn't really know him. You know, somebody that he might be kind of, you know, he might have a crush on, but is actually just kind of creepily obsessed with. And he doesn't realize, you know what I mean? He doesn't see it that way. And then she's sort of like the victim slash final girl in this kind of a movie.
Right.
Or something. I didn't plot a whole movie, but I feel like that would have some potential.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought about that sort of Cronenberg-esque thing. Yeah. I was like, should I do
it's
that?
Such
and
a,
I didn't go that way. So
that's
you went
why I feel
way.
Like I'm glad that like it wasn't just like, that's a pretty obvious one, I guess. But I'm just like, I just like it.
No, it's good. I almost did that. Maybe I'll do mine just right after.
Yeah, sure.
Hey.
Just,
yeah.
Two Spideys, no
way. Two Spideys, back to back.
I'm going to change mine to be Spider-Man. All right, so Spider-Man keeps getting reincarnated.
I did mine more story-wise. A young boy in the 60s, nerdy, weak, bullied, orphaned, living with his elderly relatives. He finds solace in science. And then he's on a field trip a lab one day, and his nemesis bully, who constantly attacks him, corners him and delivers a particularly harsh beating. The boy kind of slinks away and finds himself somewhere he's not supposed to be in that lab, where something happens, and all of a sudden he gets bit. He's like, ah, what's this? And it hurts. It's some sort of bite, and you see this gross kind of spider run away. And so he's like, ah, that hurts. He's like, I should draw a little bit of blood. So he runs to the teacher, and he's like, oh my God, like that hurts. Like, look at that. And he's kind of crying. The bully overhears what's going on, and he starts making fun of him. Others start kind of making fun of him. So what does he do? He runs. He runs crying, and he leaves the lab or wherever they are. And as he's running out, he goes towards the road, and a car swerves, and he leaps to the wall. Thoop!
Oh, yeah.
And he's kind of like in an alleyway-esque, so he's like, what? What's going on? He's like, what just happened? He starts to climb, starts to discover these powers. And he's like, what's going on? And climbs up, and he starts being able to run faster, jump longer. He's stronger. He feels different. He becomes more and more as he keeps going.
He's getting hair in places.
His fingertips.
Fuzzy bunny. He eventually makes his way home. So he's like leaping across the rooftops and eventually makes his way home. He lives in a small apartment with his grandmother and grandfather. And he sneaks into the window through the side of the brownstone. And grandma comes in and is all pissed off. She's really mad. I got a call from the school that you left and you were on a field trip and you took off. And she's really upset. And she's like, wait till your grandfather gets home. Grandfather is a bit of a drinker. Bit of a bully himself. And he knows that he's going to pull out the belt. And he's going to get the belt. So he sulks in his room for a while. He's like, what am I going to do? What's going on with me? He's like, He's a teenager. It's racing in his head. I don't know what to do. So he decides, I can climb out the window again and just go along the wall. So he decides to leave, and he starts just kind of exploring what he can do. And he's testing himself, and he's just going around town in his neighborhood. And he looks down, and he sees the bully walking with a group of friends. And in that group is the girl he's kind of sweet on.
Mm-hmm.
Her name's Marijuana.
That's a weird name.
I'm just kidding.
Her parents were hippies.
Yeah, exactly.
No shit.
So this group of kids is walking down the street, and it's dark out now, and they're passing by an alley, and they just hear a noise in the alley, and the kids are like, what? What is that? And they hear more of a noise, and they're like, hey, what's going on in there? There's like kind of a crash and a boom and a scuffle. And like, what?
Three cats?
the kids in the back.
Those cats are harmonizing. Yeah,
you almost did.
I was gonna go for it. How do you resist? You don't.
And then all of a sudden, one of the trash cans comes flying out of the alleyway and goes flying across the street. Like what? And the rest of the kids scatter, but the bully is left there, and he's like, "Where are you going, wimps?" kind of thing. And so he's, "Well, I'm gonna check this out."
It's just a grouch.
Who is this green fuzzy guy?
Throwing his own house around.
I'm just moving. So he works his way in. He's like, what's going on? And he's looking around, and he finally kind of comes around a corner, and he's like, it's you. And it's this kid that he's been bullying, and he knows like he can take him. It's not he's not afraid yeah. anymore. But then the kid's like, yeah, it's me. So then the bully tries to take a swipe, and he's like really fast. He keeps taking a punch, just moving. He's like, he realizes he can move even fast, like so much faster than this bully now. The confidence level starts to increase, so he starts to jump creepily, like from one side of the alleyway to the other. Yeah, yeah. So,
like neutered man.
Merry Christmas. And as he's jumping back and forth and he's trying to get him, he jumps by and this kid, the super kid,
yeah.
gives him a punch as he goes by. And he's like, how does it feel? And then he gets a little bit more of that. Hits him again. How does that feel? And he keeps going and he starts building it up. Eventually jumps on him and just starts wailing on him. And then before he knows it, he's standing over the dead bully. And he's...
popped him like a gusher.
Oh, oh, boy. Oh,
my.
Gusher's fruit snacks. They'll blow you away.
And he's scared, but he's excited at the same time. He's like, I can do it. Like, I'm not the kid that's getting beaten up anymore. I'm not this weak kid that can't defend himself. So he's not sure what to do, but he's still all amped up. He heads home, and as he crawls in the window, realizes his grandfather is there waiting for him. He's like, where were you? And pulls off the belt, and he's like, you skip school. Now you see you run out on your grandma, and starts to hit him. Starts to hit him, punch him, hit him with the belt. And he's like, Grandpa, stop, stop, stop. And he's like wanting, please don't do this, don't do this. And just whether it's out of some sort of sense of self-preservation or what, he strikes out at the grandfather. Hits him once, he goes flying against the wall, and he's killed his grandfather. So at that point, he's standing over him, looking at him. And then there's a slow cut to a nighttime on a roof where this kid is standing there. And he says, with great power comes great revenge.
Hmm.
Time for this world to pay me back a little. And then he slowly puts on a mask.
Ooh.
There you go.
And see.
To be continued?
Hmm?
Tell us another story. I like it.
Nope.
And now I've got a story for about a little guy called Huckman.
Yeah.
God damn it. Woo! So... I sort of avoided the actual Hawkman stuff of it.
So I made up my own character named Hawkman.
I mean, his name's Carter Hall.
Yeah.
And he's a guy who realizes there's some sort of inciting incident. He passes by this guy on the street and he's like, I know that. How do I know that? Holy shit. That guy has killed me like 7 times. So he starts following this guy.
Then he takes his medication, and then.
Well, that's the thing. Maybe
bit of a vandal.
Yeah.
Vandal Savage.
What's the guy's name? Hathset.
Sure.
Yeah. It's Hawkman, for God's sake.
Yeah.
So he follows this guy. He takes a couple pictures of him, and he's for like okay. He finds out who he is, and he's basically begins stalking him. He's like. And his memories slowly come back of his previous lives where he's like, okay, this guy has killed me, you know, several times. I'm keeping tabs on him. I don't want this guy to kill me. I don't think he knows who I am, but just to be safe, I'm going to keep an eye on him. At the same time, he starts dating this woman. It's just some lady who is also from his past, but he doesn't remember that because memory is imperfect, you know?
Who are you?
Yeah.
She eventually, you know, finds out that he's bonkers, cuckoo banana pants.
The technical
yeah.
term.
Yeah, he's a bit of a cartoon cat / cop in Toontown because he is bonkers. Well, Bri got it.
Oh boy, that came rushing back.
It was a long walk. But yeah, she finds his wall of photographs and strings. We go, okay, this guy is insane. But he's not insane. This guy has definitely killed him before. He's done the research. Guys from history who look like this guy have killed guys that look like him. He's doing this out of his own, you know, self-preservation. The woman goes to the murderer, the suspected murderer, fills him in on this. Hawkman. John Hawkman.
Played by John Hodgman. Yes.
And the murderer guy has no memory of this either. He's like, what are you talking about? This is insane.
Yeah.
I don't believe in reincarnation, first of all, and I don't think I've killed someone a bunch of times. Certainly not this
Maybe
guy.
Maybe once.
Maybe once.
Maybe twice, because I mean, you're annoying.
Law of averages. If reincarnation was real, I might have been a caveman at some point. Might have had to kill a guy. Might have been a pirate. I don't know. Maybe.
Caveman kills pirates all the time, eh?
Caveman versus pirate. Which one's going to win? One is a sword, the other has a club, but this is...
You can
Just
come
the
in
beginning.
His club. You can come in his club if you're old enough.
You're gonna be rich when that cartoon comes out.
The twist at the end being that the twist is the peppermint twist. The woman Shayera ends up.
It was Shayera.
What? Ends up killing Carter to save the other guy's life, and then sort of everyone remembers at that sort of. Fade out death moment.
Dawning.
It's like, oh, and they're all sort of like, oh. And then, actually.
Be like 40 O's. Oh, man.
Oh, God. Oh, man. I wrote at the end, last sentence, because I was sort of running out of time for this, and I didn't know how to end it, at which point he turns into a hawk monster. Third act twist. Then they gotta fight a hawk monster.
Hawk monster?
Oh my.
I don't know why. It just kinda happened.
I want that.
I would watch all of these movies.
Mm-hmm. This should be like a Hawkman Moon Knight crossover.
Oh, really?
Hawk Moon.
Two batshit crazy guys that are like. How old are you? What? You're
Egypt?
I'm what?
Did you say Egypt?
You're a mercenary?
I love Egypt.
You're a mercenary? No, I'm a cop. How old are you? I don't know. How many times have you died? Maybe. I don't know.
We'll take my cab.
Yep.
What the f***?
Welcome to a dramatic reading. From our regular Bible of Fletcher Henderson. Fletcher Hanks?
Fletcher Hanks.
Fletcher Hanks. No, he changed because he has all these pseudonyms that he uses. One of them is Fletcher Henderson, I'm pretty sure. But Fletcher Hanks is in this one. The Super Wizard Stardust.
That's the sound effect. Wait, no?
Nope.
It's the only one.
So if you don't, let's say if you look don't know Fletcher Hanks, immediately pause this, just look it up.
Just Google Fletcher Hanks
and look at some
just
images.
Deal with it.
Fletcher Hanks Stardust.
Yes.
And you'll see exactly what we're talking about. He has a very particular style when he draws, and it's fucking bizarre.
Yep. It needs to be seen to be believed.
Yep.
But I feel like it is very important for you to have that image in your head.
Oh, absolutely.
As you hear us perform this masterpiece.
So, the Super Wizard Stardust.
And we start with a large panel of Stardust flying towards a planet. It's just sort of a teaser of the story to come. I won't spoil it.
No, don't spoil it.
We're going to get there. Stardust, the scientific marvel, whose vast knowledge of all planets has made him the most remarkable person ever known, is devoting his abilities to crime busting. From his observatory on his private asteroid, he looks at the various planets.
You kids get off my asteroid. Yes.
His televisional crime detective unit.
Televisional.
Hold on, let me do this again. His televisional crime detecting unit shows a horrible crime being planned on Earth.
And he does have a huge neck, so I'm going to try to...
He's very big.
I'm going to huge neck
this. He's a thick neck boy.
They're going to stop the Earth from revolving!
Just announcing it. And then you see on the screen, you see that there are three goons, three villainous-looking chaps, one of which has a thick, illustrious beard.
Our anti-solar ray will check all motion and thereby destroy the power of the Earth's gravity. Do you know what that will mean? As soon as the motion stops, all the people will fly off Earth's surface and into outer space.
He's a flat earther. This is the science from flat earth.
I think so.
This is We've nicknamed him Thomas Hayden Church.
He looks like Thomas Hayden Church.
He's a weird cartoon version of Thomas Hayden Church.
We tried to find a good Thomas Hayden Church voice between the three of us, but we could not
do it. We can't do it. What'll happen to us? That was like Adrian.
Go with it, go with it.
Okay.
We'll chain ourselves to the ground.
But first, we'll charge the earth with a hydraulic balance ray to keep the water on the surface. And we'll magnetize all the automobiles and ships so that they will stay on the Earth.
The logistics problem with that is astounding.
Look, I'm just a simple servant.
Now, to be fair, there are many automobiles, and we won't need all of them. But several thousand automobiles for each of us.
Boys, go out and magnetize.
We'll just hit Detroit. They're the Motor City, and they're going to keep going forever. Oh, God, he's still talking.
He's still talking, yeah. So on page two, they're in the lab, and he's instructing to the...
Look like Mousetrap.
It does look like Mousetrap.
It is a crazy contraption.
Fletcher Hanks invented Mousetrap.
Fletcher Hanks invented Fletcher Henderson.
When everybody's disappeared into space, we'll reverse our anti-solar ray and restore the Earth's motion and its gravity. Gravitar. Then we can have the whole Earth and all its wealth for ourselves. Three men.
The concept of wealth, I feel like... Listen, never mind.
Rich.
Cut to Fletcher Hanks looking through his...
Fletcher Hanks?
Oh, cut to Fletcher Hanks. Cut to Stardust.
Cut to Stardust.
Cut to Fletcher Hanks' Stardust. Every time we need that in there.
Yeah.
It's in his contract.
Stardust created by Fletcher Hanks and Bob Kane.
Looking through his televisual whatever the hell.
Yeah.
That's the dangerous Jip Clip Gang. Preparing to murder over 500 million people. I'll attend to them.
500 million people? Is that how many people existed on the Earth in, the 40s and 50s?
Could be.
Don't think
Could be.
No way to know.
These are unknowns. This is before recorded history.
It's true.
He also invented the Jip Clip. Keeps your jips fresh.
I don't like this. I don't like it.
So then the evil dude says,
"Come on, you mugs. Get ready. We're going to release our anti-solar ray."
That sounds like a start of a song. "Come on, you mugs. Get ready. We're going to release our anti-solar ray."
"Come on, you mugs. Play it. 1, 2, 3, 4. This is the song that you play when the song gets turned on.
When you stop spinning the earth."
Okay, so we
didn't stop the spin.
From orbit, we see a ray sort of emanating from the globe. The ray is released, and the Earth begins to turn more slowly. It finally loses all its motion. As it comes to a stop, and gravity is destroyed, people begin to rise.
That's how science works.
People begin to rise from the surface and plunge helplessly into space.
Yellow
and
space.
You just see people flying from the Earth.
It's not even a black space background. It's yellow.
Space was blue, and then it was green, and now it's yellow.
So now space is yellow. The water part is orange. Land is kind of greenish. And everyone is just flying like headlong.
And everyone is wearing their Sunday best for the rapture.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we were in church and oh my God!
Just flying. It's amazing. Meanwhile, the brilliant form of Stardust darts across the heavens. The super wizard is traveling on highly accelerated light waves in a tubular spatial.
What? I'm just taking words and putting them together.
A tubular spatial.
Spatial is rad as fuck.
This is my second favorite panel of this. Oh, yeah. So it's got the three bad guys, and of course that earlier they said, okay, we're going to spin everybody off the earth, so we're going to chain ourselves down. There's actually a full waistband of metal and huge like iron chains tying them down, because that's how hard it was.
Well, also, aren't they indoors?
Everyone else was outside. It was such a nice day.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, I feel like you don't need to go to all this trouble to just not fly into space.
So yeah, I guess everybody who was indoors suddenly just flew right into the ceiling and died, or is stuck to the ceiling.
You don't think they die. It's
maybe
not that.
Maybe they had that like that spiky sort of ceiling. That
yeah. Oh, that spackle.
Yeah.
Oh no. Spiky spackle. That will mess you up.
All right. Everybody should be off the earth by this time.
Enough time.
Well, let me check my 2:30 already.
Let me check my Lordy.
Oh, my watch has stopped.
And Thomas Hayden Church says, "We should have spared a few to make slaves of them."
Thomas Hayden Church is a monster.
Perhaps a few are left. We can capture them.
And then we cut back to space and just full of corpses.
This guy's
doing either corpses or they're dancing.
Yeah, like, this guy's doing a sweet somersault. Yeah. Like a gainer.
He's like,
pretty good.
Should have gone to the bathroom before I went to space.
Yeah. Stardust's extra sight enables him to see the millions of Earth people drifting in space, unconscious and gasping.
As he laughs.
And then they're alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's unconscious and gasping.
It's like a goldfish that's jumped out of its bowl.
Yeah, we're just having a nice little space nap. He sees the Jip Clip Gang. I hate it. It sounds bad.
It's not Arrow.
The Romani Clip Gang.
Yikes. Getting ready to reverse the anti-solar ray and make the Earth again normal.
We'll soon have it all for ourselves, Jip.
His name is Jip.
And here's a favorite thing of Fletcher Hanks to do. Every time you say somebody's name, the name has to be in quotes.
Yeah, it's weird. It's very strange. As Stardust glides through space, he focuses his radiophonic thought recording ray on Jip Clip.
Why should I share all the wealth with these mugs?
With Thomas Hayden Church.
He's got enough money for Spider-Man 3.
Why should I give any of it to these two dipshits?
And what does he do in this tiny panel? Like one of the smallest panels here?
It's curtains for Thomas Hayden Church.
In a silhouette fashion, shoots him.
Oh no, you shot me!
I certainly did. And now, I'll have it all to myself.
Jip reverses the anti-solar ray, and the Earth begins to revolve again. Oh boy, there's a lot of talking for me.
Sorry.
So you're seeing Stardust flying through the space, all sort of corpses
with, like,
back
tons
around.
Of corpses floating through space.
Yeah.
Excuse me, pardon me.
Coming through.
Meanwhile, Stardust encircles the Earth, discharging long attractor beams that towards the drifting millions of Earth people. Finally, with a tremendous burst of power, he begins drawing the strong attractor beams back to him. The half-a-billion Earth people are now under his control. Without delay,
he's a tyrant.
Jesus,
he must be stopped.
And I thought Thomas Hayden Church was a monster.
Both are correct.
Without delay, he transmits them to the now normal atmosphere of their planet.
I must deposit each one in the proper place. That doesn't take very long at all.
No,
sure.
No. Jip Clip? I don't like it. Jip Clip, believing he has the world to himself, gloats madly.
It's mine. All mine.
So did you think like he had the entire Earth to himself?
Literally, he's the last man on Earth.
I'm the last man on Earth.
He's got all the money in the world to use with no one.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
The concept of money does not matter anymore, but I have it all.
All of the margarine is for me now.
Bring me your butter and mom.
No, the butter will spoil far too quickly. Yeah. I need margarine. Margarine!
Hello? I said margarine, not Marjorie.
Oh my god, another person!
Yeah.
Perhaps we can exchange this wealth.
Perhaps we should exchange numbers.
Suddenly, the sky becomes darkened with the slowly descending forms of human beings.
Hopefully slowly.
That sounds horrible. That's like that one shot from near the beginning of the Happening. And all the construction workers are jumping to their deaths.
Oh, okay. It's a reverse rapture. Without mistake, each person is returned to the spot from which he or she left Earth when Jip stopped the action of gravity. Just a bunch of stiff, erect bodies.
Yeah,
just
going down feet first, like, oh, this is a normal Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
Gliding swiftly, Stardust controls every movement of the Earth people. Shoo! Blast on by. Jip Flip has become terrified.
They'll hang me!
Jip!
Jip! It's G-Y-P, just so you know.
But no, that's the bad part.
Yeah, that's the
part that's very bad. It's not, that's a slur. And I don't like saying it. I'm just going to call him Clip from now on. Clip hides
Clipster.
The Clipster hides in his laboratory. Or laboratory. And you just see him like literally hiding behind like a boiler or something. Suddenly, a blinding flash fills the lab. And Clip's equipment is entirely destroyed by a fusing ray.
Dang. I love how he makes up rays. Like every time there's always...
It's always a ray of some kind. And it just says bang. Yeah. From out of the flash steps Stardust.
Oh my lord.
So the Clip's up to Stardust's waist, basically. Like, Stardust is a huge individual.
He's like 8 feet tall.
And so he picks him up, and this is one of the great things about Fletcher Hanks. Whenever like the big guys grab little guys or normal sized guys, they crumple like they're just grabbing laundry.
Just like a pop can, just crunch.
So he's got
him dead.
Yeah, his spine has been shoved straight through his sternum. So he's like, "Come on, Jim, you're going into space."
Wow. And then he just grabs him like a. That's amazing.
So he's just ready to pitch him. He's got him. He's like just rounding up to throw. And
just this rag doll.
Jip is just like, "Woo, help me." And then he throws him, never to return again. And then tosses him literally into space.
I'm not saying that word anymore. Clip.
Say it.
Clip whirls into outer space. He's like just spinning.
He's not saying anything. He's dead.
He's probably dead.
He's a corpse.
And Stardust follows, ready to propel him to the realm of constant twilight.
Yes, reader, you know exactly what that means.
The realm of constant twilight.
No, you don't.
Midna and other Zelda shit.
Yeah, exactly.
You are. And he's just catching up to him. Like he's thrown him into space, and he's trying to catch up to him.
And he seems to be firing another ray at him.
Yeah.
What is with the rays?
You are going to the floating prison of eternal ice.
I'm kind of digging the names, though.
Yeah, interesting.
Pretty good.
You shall become a frozen spaceite, able to see and think, but always motionless. And so it looks like there's like a hotel floating.
Yeah, it's just
space.
Like it's just literally like.
And it's got icicles hanging from the bottom, and really poorly drawn red stars all around. And so he's got him by the arm, and again crushing him like laundry. In your frozen condition, you'll live forever.
To think about your crimes.
Enter the ice chamber!
Good lord. And then just one shot at him.
The voice is gone because he's
he crushed his larynx,
And this is horrible. This is the rest of eternity. He's gonna be...
It's not great.
So then Stardust flies out of this hotel, this frozen hotel. Keep thinking, Jip.
It got worse.
I don't know. You just
see him like in this like ice cell, just staring and just angry and sad. It's a sad image.
It is.
You hate to see a man with a slur for a name. So sad.
Anyway. Because he was trying to take the power back.
Oh yeah,
that's his word.
Good for him. Except for all the other stuff. Meanwhile, life on the Earth has returned to normal. And you see people driving and walking and standing and not being in space. And Stardust goes back to his own asteroid. In the next issue, Stardust will battle the Super Fiend of Lepus. Will we read it again? Maybe.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Tune in next week when we probably won't read this.
That book was worth the investment.
Oh, God.
That is a tax write-off.
Oh, it actually was. All right.
Neat.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. Had some fun. Yeah. I'm Bri. My name's Bri Kotick. You can check out my comic, Welcome to Hereafter, at welcometohereafter.com.
on Tuesdays, or really, any day you feel like it. Won't be new, you necessarily.
You don't have to read it just on Tuesdays.
You could read it every day of the week.
On Tuesdays, we read Welcome to Hereafter.
Yeah. And that's what I do.
I'm Merk. You can find me at merksylum.ca, merksylum.ca. Merk on Facebook, Merkanaut on the Instagrams. Yeah, that's all I got.
And I am Kyle Lees, and you can check out my stuff at thekylelees.com. I've got some comics and some art prints and all sorts of malarkey.
Yeah.
And you can see all three of us and our stuff and our good friend CG Rackham, who you can follow it on Instagram at CGRACKHAM. At the Thunder Bay Country Market every Wednesday afternoon and Saturday morning.
Absolutely.
Where we've got a whole bunch of stuff, and it's sort of like Hollywood Squares a bit.
It is.
We line up and I sit on top of you.
And Whoopi Goldberg's there.
And I sit on top of you.
So enjoy that.
And Bruce Valanche sits on me.
Well, yeah. He insists.
I insist.
As always, a special thank you to our dear friend.
Yes.
Cave Preston Merkley. Kenny Pray Merkaroo. Who,
Ocean City Defender.
I think he hates that. Who otherwise known as Ocean City Defender for his, for helping us with the music. He used his sweet musical talents, mm-hmm. which I do not possess. And Kyle does not possess. Merk's all right.
All right, thanks.
Yeah. But, yeah, so he's, the music was courtesy of him. Him and Merk kind of develop those together, and it sounds good, and we're happy to have it. So mm-hmm. thanks as always to him. You should check out Ocean Shady Defender and buy some of his sweet, sweet tunes.
I believe he is working on a new album right now.
Yes. Yeah. Which I am looking forward to.
Me too.
Because I really dug his last one.
All right, so tune in next time when Bri decides that he is going to...
Hey guys, I'm going to try a new pair of pants today. Do you like these new pair of pants I'm wearing today?
No, I hate them!
Joke's on you. I'm not wearing pants.
Well, I don't need an explanation. Is it a full body tattoo or what is?
Yes, that's it.
No more questions.
Just says Wrangler, oh my God. Wrangler on his back.
I don't know why I did that.
I loved it.
I don't know why.
Well, you'll never be nude if you tattoo pants.
That's true.
You'll never be nude if you tattoo pants on your pants.
You guys don't have the word Wrangler tattooed right above your right butt cheek? Because you haven't lived.
Mm.
I do have Gap on my taint. Well, I don't see myself.
I have taint on my Gap.
Oh, no!
Good night, everybody!
Nerds in space.
Just floating dead. It's what they deserve.
Bouncing off your ship as you drive past.
Yeah. Oh.